and we've got a great guest coming on the line and ready and waiting for us already. So let's get him on. He is, of course, the freelance journalist, the man to talk so much Premier League football with, and the man to discuss all the goings on from last night and the weekend in English football. It is, of course, Nick Szczepanik joining us here on the show today on World Football Daily. Nick, how are you doing today, mate?
Good, Ollie, thanks. Yeah, you?
Yeah, very well indeed, man. A little groggy after getting knocked out on the weekend. But,
yes, you shouldn't be playing these rough girl sports, should you?
No, no, egg chasing is just far too dangerous, isn't it, Nick? I should, yeah. Should stick to the football. Oh, maybe not, though, after what we saw last night in the Sunderland-Stoke game. Another horrific challenge leading to a red card for a Premier League footballer. These sorts of challenges that people like Gardner are putting in at the moment have become quite common this season. It's quite worrying to see it so often in the Premier League.
Yeah, and the thing that really amazes me is, you know, these sort of protestations, you know, as if it hadn't happened. I mean, are players completely unaware of what they're doing? You know, it was well over the top. You know, it wasn't just a little bit. You know, it was straight over the ball, straight into the guy's shin pad. You know, if he hadn't been wearing them, you know, goodness knows what sort of damage would have been inflicted. And as you say, you know, it's... Yeah, do these people think, you know, that somehow they haven't done it, or are they going to get away with it, or that... you know, referees, okay, there are things referees don't see, but, you know, these days people know that they can be, you know, if it's been captured on camera and the referee hasn't seen it, they can be suspended after the fact. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I suppose it's the tensions involved. I mean, you know, there were an awful lot of tensions around that game last night, you know, for both clubs, and, you know, a defeat for either it would have, you know, given, you know, put them right in the thick of the relegation battle. You know, you can't say Sunderland are exactly out of it anyway, but... No, I suppose, you know, the players are sort of stoked up, and, you know, the I suppose, you know, you could say the media are partly to blame for building these things up to, you know, say that relegation is the end of everything and, you know, the death of civilization as we know it. So, but, you know, even so, there's no excuse for trying to, you know, amputate someone's leg below the knee with studs.
I mean, it's as you may say, it's the media for kind of building up relegation, but who has to take responsibility of this? Is it, do you think coaches need to start educating their players better on the training field about this sort of challenge? Because the style in particular, as I say, it's not reckless as in all limbs are flying and going into the guy's ankle, but at the same time, it's tremendously dangerous going over the top of the ball like that.
Well, yeah, and especially that challenge wasn't as bad as some of the ones we... And there was the one that Danny Fox did first, that he got the red card for Southampton against West Brom against Stephen Reid. Now, that was off the ground, hurtling in 2 feet, no control of what's going on. Now, OK, you say it's a dangerous play, it's a three-match suspension. Well, you know, all the forces can do is to make it a 10-match suspension because, you know, and send a message that if you're recklessly endangering the career of a professional, then, you know, you must be prepared to take the consequences because, you know, you have to say, is a three-match ban enough? You know, that's the only way. I don't know what the players say, you know, if they go before a tribunal and say, oh, well, heat of the moment, I didn't know what I was doing, I saw the ball was there and I tried to win it. I don't suppose they ever said, my coach told me to take the guy out, or my coach said, you know, make them, you know, fear for their lives so they won't put their foot in. I don't suppose that defence has ever been used. You know, I lost my head. I was going for the ball. That's the usual one, isn't it? But it has to be shown that that's not enough.
On the other side of the coin, if you will, then Nick, you've got players that are taking, you know, very minimal knocks and going down too easily and play acting a lot. We saw David Luiz with his little cheeky smile to the camera in the Manchester United game. I mean,
somehow I didn't think it would be very long before Sideshow Bob came up. yeah, I mean it's his excuse, you know, that the Sideshow been thrown at him by the United fans over there, you know, and that he was sort of smiling in reaction to that. Well, do me a favour, you know, I don't think so. And this is another, you know, instance of the brainlessness of footballers, or, you know, the temporary loss of their marbles. Because, you know, guess what? It's a televised game. Guess what? There are cameras on you almost every second. And guess what? If you're going to smile at people and then, okay, if you smiled at them, you know, you could say that, but then you smile, looked back to see what the referee's reaction, rolled around a bit more, and then had another little smile. I mean, you know, it's so transparent. But, and you can't condone it. You know, we're going back to, you know, it's been done all over the place. You know, it's been done by, you know, our old friend Busquets at Barcelona, you know, with his little look through his fingers as he, you know, he writhes in agony, contemplating the end of his career life and civilization as we know it, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just trying to, the thing is, okay, you're trying to con the referee, you're trying to con the other team, but you're also trying to con a worldwide television audience. You know, that's got to be a little trickier.
But should referees be influenced by how much damage has been done in a challenge at all? I mean, you can say, for instance,
it's not the result. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like DUI, isn't it? I mean, if you're driving under the influence, you know, whether you hit a car and kill someone or you know, just get stopped a yard out of the car park, the crime is the same. You know, the consequence, you know, may be what it is. But I mean, in British law, you know, the crime is being drunk. You know, what the consequences of it are? Well, maybe nothing. They may be catastrophic. And you know, someone's leg can be broken in a complete, you know, accidental way. You know, that someone can damage themselves with no one near them. So I think it's got to be the sort of the intent and the recklessness is the thing, whether you make contact or not. You know, if someone gets out of the way of one of these, you know, two-footed airborne challenges, I think that, you know, I think the intent or the lack of care was still there, and I think it's just as culpable. That's my view.
But I was going to say, Nick, because we see some challenges go completely unpunished by referees. Are they too easily influenced by that? For instance, we saw Bobby Zamora getting sent off for that studs-up challenge 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And then the same thing happened to Lewis Holtby in the Wigan-Tottenham game a week ago. And nothing, play wasn't even stopped at that point, and Holtby takes some studs to the face. But because he didn't go down, because he was able to stay on his feet, it went completely unpunished.
Yeah, I mean, I think perhaps they should, you know that in the NFL on Monday morning, they go through all the umpiring decisions and look at them. I think there's a case for the Premier League, at least, you know, and perhaps all the Football League doing all those things, going through everything. And maybe, you know, since it's been proved that you can retrospectively act against fouls, you know, perhaps it should be possible. And all this old nonsense, like, as exactly what happened in the Wigan Newcastle game, you know, the other week when, you know, there was a horrendous foul that escaped unpunished because, quotes, the officials had seen it. Well, you know, I mean, that's the FA's take on these things. I mean, my information is that FIFA and UEFA are quite happy for them to take action whether the referees see it or not, but they choose not to. It's a sort of get out for them. And I think that's a piece of nonsense. You know, what are you going to say that if a policeman saw somebody driving a car erratically, and then decided that, well, you know, they weren't drunk, they were just, you know, there was no problem there, and it was later found that they had, you know, they were three times over the legal limit, the person wouldn't be prosecuted. It's complete nonsense, isn't it?
Let's talk about the battle at the bottom of the Premier League, Nick. Who is going down? Who is in the most danger of going down right now in the Premier League?
It's technically Wigan because they've got the fewest points at the moment, but you know, but looking at the fixtures, you have to say that I think, you know, Sunderland have the trickiest fixture list, but then, you know, Newcastle haven't got the form. So I mean, if I had to put my money anywhere, I would think Newcastle are probably the club in biggest danger.
Nick, this season for Newcastle, has it been tiredness from the Europa League? Has it been the injuries that they've suffered? What's been the factor that's kind of put them in this position? Because nobody at the beginning of the year expected them to be anywhere near a relegation battle.
No, well, I think they were the victims of their own success last year, weren't they? That's the whole point. Nobody expected anything. You know, you saw that massive eight-year contract that Bardi signed. I think people, you know, you were supposed to treat those twin impostors, success and failure, just the same. And Newcastle haven't done that, have they? The problem is that you know, they got too high on themselves last year and weren't prepared for things to go wrong. And I think it was sort of just, you know, thinking they were too good for this to happen. You know, how many times have we heard too good to go down, you know, from a number of clubs who end up back in the football league? And, you know, I think there's people have been saying, well, you know, Newcastle better watch out, you know, they've got to be careful because they could be sucked into it. But no one's really taking it seriously because they're still sort of looking back at last season. Well, you know, there've been changes of personnel since then. I mean, I'm not one of those people who believes that too many French players have spoiled things for them. But, you know, lack of continuity, injuries at the wrong time, probably the, you know, the selling of them, the bar, a lot of different things have, you know, have had to change the dynamic at Newcastle. But the other thing I think is, you know, just that they reacted to it rather late, and now they're in it, you know, their mindset has to be somewhat different from club thinking, oh, come on lads, let's turn this round, we're going to be in the Europa League final, everything will be great.
When you look at the other sides that are joining them, obviously Sunderland got that point yesterday. Norwich, a side that, again, a few weeks back we were all thinking were just about out of it and now on. Do you think the fact that we have so many of these teams getting caught up in the relegation battle at the end of the year, is that a positive thing for the Premier League football? Or does it show that there is just so much difference between the elitist few at the top of the league and then everybody else who is basically up for picking for a relegation battle at the end of the year?
Well, I wish it was true that it shows that, you know, there's a great unpredictability all the way through, but you don't have, you know, if it was the same at the top, where, you know, we were in the situation we didn't know who was going to win the title or even who was going to finish second, I'd say that, you know, it was all very healthy. But that's not the truth, is it? I mean, the top few places have sort of fossilised, you know, early on, whereas below, you know, there's a sort of general lack of quality, which is costing teams. I mean, Sunderland, you know, only don't have a single goal scorer left. You know, anyone like to score goals is injured, suspended. Danny Gray, I mean, he's yet to score from them. Seems to be their only hope, you know, apart from sort of goal from a set piece. Norwich seems to have completely forgotten how to score goals. I suppose in Newcastle's favour, you say that they do have a goal scorer or two. But, you know, they also have a defence that seems to be leaking goals. I suppose the 0-0 at West Ham was a very positive sign for them in that they, you know, they've stopped the rush of goals past their goalkeeper.
How do you stop these players that come through a side or players that start making a positive name at somewhere like Newcastle, like a Demba Ba or a Cisse or someone like that, being pinched off by this top elite group then? Is there any way, or has football now become so set in its ways that this is what we're going to have for the foreseeable future, at least?
Well, financial fair play is supposed to be a step in that direction, and the limitation of squad sizes, you know, to prevent, you know, just a squad of 25 superstars at the, you know, the three or four wealthiest clubs. In the end, you know, if a player doesn't have the ambition to play every game, I mean, let's be honest, if Demba Ba stayed at Newcastle to play every game, he would have been sitting on the bench and obviously out of Chelsea. But if he's happy and the money is there to be paid, then, you know, I suppose it's very hard to resist that. But it's down to whether the player wants to, you know, in the future say, oh, you know, look how many games I played, look all the goals I scored in that season, or they'll say, God, you know, look at my bank statements from that season, look how big my bank account got. That's the difference, isn't it? I mean, if it were me, you know, well, you know, haven't had that temptation, to be fair. But,
I was going to say, where would you go then?
Sure you have, but you know, I'd want to play while I could. You know, I still do get around the, you know, a football field every Sunday morning when I can, you know, and frankly, no one pays me at all. I think they'd probably pay me not to if they could. But you know, I just can't understand anybody being willing to sit on a bench, you know, even for more money, rather than, you know, for, let's be honest, an astronomical amount of money instead of just a gargantuan sum of money. I can't see it myself, but then I haven't had those temptations and I haven't got an agent to keep happy.
No, I don't think many of us get that temptation for that amount of money ever in our lifetimes. Just finally, Nick, before we go, a quick talk about the top of the table. Chelsea, Tottenham and Arsenal all fighting out for those Champions League spots means so much, both financially and to the status of these clubs, to ensure that they're in the Champions League. One of them's going to miss out. Tottenham v Chelsea tomorrow night, the biggest game of their seasons tomorrow night, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a huge game for Tottenham. And if they could win that, it would be such a statement. I kind of think they won't. You know, it's their game in hand on Arsenal. If they do win that, then that will send some tremors through the Emirates Stadium. But I just can't see it happening. I just think Chelsea seem to have a bit between their teeth. And, you know, they're finishing the table strongly. And, you know, I think Benitez is showing a few people, you know, what his qualities are. You know, I like to share the love around if possible, and I'd like to see Tottenham get in the top four, you know, just because it's good to have, you know, someone different, you know, from the usual suspects. But if I had to bet, I'd say Tottenham would be the team to miss out, but I'd rather they were in, just you know, just to people differ on and all that.
Nick, what's Tottenham missing? We know exactly what they've got with the fullbacks and the wing player. Of course, Gareth Bale's magnificent. But what are they missing then to ensure that they're a Champions League side?
It's a sort of mindset throughout the team. I mean, well, I was talking with some friends the other day about the game at Wigan and saying, oh, you know, a couple of years ago, this is the sort of game that Tottenham wouldn't win, or they'd lose it, you know, a vital game but against an inferior team. Now they look equipped to go there and win that game. But then, of course, they didn't, did they? They got a draw, and it was only lucky they even got that. And that's the difference, you know. When the chips are down, you know, Arsenal go for QPR, get a 1-0, you know, and Spurs just don't have that sort of collective will to get that result, you know, when they're not playing well. They're still vulnerable to, you know, to the sort of sucker punch from lesser teams that they should beat.
How much of a importance is it then for them to keep the Champions League, to keep Gareth Bale? Or does that ensure that he stays or not, even if they get the Champions League?
I don't think it does. I mean, you know, you hear all sorts of things about Bale, that he does like playing for Tottenham, and you know, but even if they do get in the Champions League, you know, if the blandishments of, you know, Real Madrid or whoever are sufficient, then perhaps he will go. I don't think in the end it may, you know, if it's a toss up between going to a club and not going to a club, it might make the difference, you know. But in the end, we don't know. I mean, I think perhaps he could have gone earlier, but you know, I think Bale enjoys playing for Tottenham, and I think he enjoys being Tottenham's star player as well. You know, there's for them, you know, plenty of, you know, not many players take the Matthew Letizia route of being happy to be the, you know, the big fish in the small pond. I think most players want to try their hand, you know, and see if they can be a big fish in an even bigger pond.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Gareth Bale, but as long as he's firing goals in for Tottenham, Champions League football could still be on its way to White Hart Lane for next season. Nick, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show once again. We always enjoy getting you on, mate, and we appreciate you taking the time out from your busy schedule to have a quick word with us, man.
No worries, mate. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mr. Nick Schapanek there on World Football Daily, joining us to talk about the Premier League and, of course, that title, that Champions League race coming up to the final few weeks of the season. Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, three of the biggest London clubs in football, and one of them is going to miss out on the Champions League. Who's it going to be? Chelsea and their millions. Tottenham, who are just starting to build something that seems like it could be quite special at the beginning of the year. We were saying that it's been like a beautiful growth, this Tottenham side, just getting slightly better and slightly bigger with more depth as the years go on. But is it still there? Is it just on the verge of Champions League football without quite being able to get over the final hurdle? We will find out this Wednesday as Tottenham take on Chelsea down at Stamford Bridge. Coming up this week as well, of course, we've got Serie A action coming our way, La Liga action coming our way in midweek as well. The Champions League semi-finals are done. European football semi-finals are done. We're just waiting for the finals, but we've still got football coming in the midweek. It's always a joy to sit down on an evening and watch a game of football, and a man who loves doing that.